That's just awesome. Hello, everybody. With the biggest game release of the 21st century, we present you an in-depth review of the only game that matters, aside from the Old Republic, because that's not out yet. This is Taryn.
And this is Protoss.
And you're listening to That StarCraft Show, your source for the latest in Jim Raynor and Kerrigan news. That felt as good to say as I thought it would. It was awesome. We're probably going to talk about some other stuff to cater to the uninformed and uncool, but if you really want to know what's what and who's who, you'll listen in so you can talk StarCraft with anybody you can. Just everybody, because that's really all that matters. All that matters. And to give you people in the real world some love, we're going to talk a bit later about back-to-school shopping, what to look for and what to avoid.
And what we'll play StarCraft 2.
Avoid the Zerg Rush for the tax-free weekend.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Okay, and the highlight of our week, an in-depth review of StarCraft 2 by a newbie, a novice, and an expert. Which we're not going to tell you. It's going to be pretty apparent. small snippet of ebook reader news. Ebooks are here to stay.
Yay!
We present you the Gallagher 2.0. Exploding watermelons. Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon attempts to break a world record gamer style. But first, the most important piece of news this week. I suck at StarCraft 2. Have you played it, Chris?
Yeah.
Leviticus Jones is going to be a very integral part of this episode because he eats, drinks, breathes. We're pretty sure that his name was going to be Jim Raynor when he was born. His dad's that big a StarCraft fan. But then
it's in his blood.
It is.
I think his blood is like purple or something.
Yeah. I would have been made fun of if my name was Zeratul.
That'd be awesome. I wonder if anybody is named Zeratul.
I bet babies around the world that were born on the 27th. Zeratul. Raynor. Tassadar.
That's awesome.
That'd be funny.
Okay, so StarCraft 2. When did the original StarCraft come out?
1998, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Wow. Okay, so 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
12 years. Now, a little piece of trivia news. We got a manatee out in the store that begged me to talk about this. The original StarCraft, a little bit of trivia, was supposed to be Warhammer?
Yeah, Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah. Warhammer 40K, which is a tabletop. You know, I move my little Monopoly piece.
Games Workshop.
And Games Workshop's a company. It was supposed to originally be a Games Workshop game. There was some infighting. Somebody, I don't know, didn't like somebody else's attitude. Somebody spilled some coffee on somebody's crotch, something like that. And Blizzard and the Games Workshop people split. The game was almost done, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you can totally tell that it's completely influenced by Warhammer.
Yeah. I mean, because in Warhammer, you have the Space Marines.
And the Terran, which are
and
Space Marines.
The Terran, you have the Space Marines, and they even look the same.
Yep.
Except for the chainsaw guns.
Yeah, the Warhammer 40K Space Marines have chainswords and, like, they're chainsaw swords and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure was influenced by Army of Darkness.
I don't know what that is.
What?
This is my boomstick!
Shop smart. Shop S-smart.
I love that movie.
If you don't know what Army of Darkness is,
Go rent it.
Okay.
Bruce Campbell. Oh my gosh.
It's been too long since I've seen it. I'm adding it to my Netflix queue.
Yeah, maybe we should have a store, an Army of Darkness night. Okay, so StarCraft 2 is out. Oh man, it's a fun game.
No, leave it playing, man. Just leave it playing.
So, okay. Let's tell everybody who maybe doesn't know what is that noise?
That's you, brother.
Is that me? What's my computer doing?
Your computer's like trying to sell you something.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon, I think, just came on.
You got an ad.
Yeah. Very Fallon, Nick. So, StarCraft 2, basically, in the StarCraft universe, you have the Terran, which are the humans, which, ironically, are a bunch of prison ships. They're not...
You,
it's not,
man.
It's not Earth. Robot. It was, four prison ships took off from Earth. They got lost. They found this new star system. They, parked there and set up shop. So, it's kind of like Australia.
Without the accent.
Without the, too wry. Crikey! And instead of crocodiles, you have Zerg.
Mm-hmm.
Are they alligators or crocodiles in Australia?
Sweet, bro! I'm beached as!
So, you've got the Terrans, which are the humans. You have the... Kyle, tell us.
Well, there's Zerg and the Protoss.
Okay, so what are the Zerg?
The Zerg are bug-like aliens that...
Totally influenced by the alien movies.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And if you compare Zerg to Tyranids from Warhammer, they look almost exactly the same.
Okay, so again, the influence from Games Workshop. But a lot of influence from the alien movies.
Oh, yeah. Know? It's you can tell.
And then you have the
Protoss. Yes, they're high aliens. They're uppity.
They are very uppity.
They would be the British.
Yeah, they'd be the British. The British meet the Greys, meet the... I don't know.
All of their technology looks very clean and polished and...
Yeah.
Runs like clockwork.
Very clinical. They warp things in. They all have shields. And I hate that about them. They all have shields. Ugh.
But do they have a flag?
They're all psychic, too.
Yeah, they're all psychic. Whereas the Zerg are just psychotic.
Yeah, they just kill everything.
The Zerg basically have that whole hive mind thing.
Yep.
Okay, so we're doing a tournament tonight at the show. I mean, at the store, right? That computer store, we're doing a StarCraft
2 tournament.
And I have prepared... Because I got to tell you, man, when I played the original StarCraft, it was all single player. I did a little bit of multiplayer here and there. I've only played three multiplayer missions ever of StarCraft 2. I suck.
Well, there will be many more today.
Yeah, I suck. Have you done any multiplayer, Chris?
No. I tried to play the AI, and I was handed a nice warm plate of whoop ass.
Now hold on, guys. When you start up the multiplayer on StarCraft, if you click on your multiplayer button, it asks you, "Would you like to play practice games?"
Well, I did play. I played an AI.
No. But this is online against other people. They're practice games set on practice maps, and the game speed is set to slower.
But I'm afraid because I don't want to embarrass myself against real people.
But it's practice games. So people who are going to be playing the practice games are people like you who've probably never played it before.
But they can't suck as much as me.
Or people like Eric who just get off on just, you know, raffle stomping.
But the practice games are boring.
Like us.
The practice games are boring for people who have experience. They're at a slower speed. The game.
So it's not like League of Legends where you have a Smurf come in and just wipe people.
I don't think so, because people who know how to play StarCraft are going to want to play other people who are good at StarCraft, because it's no fun just beating people over and over and over.
I think that's fun. Okay, a couple other things I want
to
talk
about. Have you been paying attention to what's going on out there?
A couple other things, and we'll get back to that in a second. One of the things that I really like about StarCraft, well, I like and dislike, you have to have a BattleNet account. There's no monthly fee, so you buy the game and you can play the games.
No monthly fee right now.
Don't even. And I've heard the rumors. And when there's a monthly fee, screw it. I'm just not interested. But now, BattleNet is cool because it allows you to add, you can add friends. There's like in-game chat. Integrated into the game. One of the things I really don't like is the real ID thing. I don't like it.
I like the real ID
thing. I do.
My dad can be at home playing World of Warcraft, and I can chat to him while I'm playing StarCraft.
Okay,
I had several of my friends playing several different games. I was playing StarCraft, and I was telling Eric, you know, I'm having fun. I even told Kyle, you know, I was having a good time. And then my girlfriend logs on and says, hey, do you want to tank an instance in World of Warcraft? So I logged out of StarCraft, logged into World of Warcraft. The same people were there, and we kept carried on our conversation.
Oreos. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
I do. There is some cool stuff. Like, I was chatting with Leviticus and Apple Rust yesterday while I was rolling a Protoss on easy. It was awesome. But I'm in the middle of the game, and some dude from my Facebook messages me, and I was like, like, who is this? What, I'm Protoss killing, and some dude's asking me. I don't need that. But I guess it's the same thing that you like. Is one of the things that I kind of don't like. I do like the in-game chat system, though.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it is cool. But
Diablo 3, when it comes out, it's going to be integrated as well.
Well, yeah, that's Blizzard's thing. Is they're going to
BattleNet.
Yeah,
it's like Steam, but for Blizzard.
Very interesting. I was trying to look up the details on the World of Warcraft forums and the BattleNet forums for the StarCraft 2 fees. Everyone I visited has been deleted.
I mean, I heard a rumor from somebody here yesterday that they were originally going to charge for the game, but I have yet to see any substantiated information. So I don't know. I'm not going to comment on it, but I don't know. Should we talk about some other stuff before we get back to StarCraft, or should we just stick with StarCraft? Because I really just want to talk about StarCraft.
Something I do want to mention. It's a little bit of security news. Last week, I believe, we talked a little bit about the Microsoft Link flaw. The shortcuts, it was kind of a zero-day, big-time thing. There's actually now some malware out there that's taking advantage of it. Please make sure you update your computer come Monday. Microsoft is issuing an emergency patch for this critical flaw. So if you don't want your box to be owned, then make sure you run Windows updates after Monday. This is a baddie. And it's in every single version of Windows except for Windows 3.11 if you're still running that.
Wow, 3.11 for workgroups. I just got a comment on our Twitter. This from a female gamer. Real ID is still a bad thing because of the harassment female players could deal with. Now, I'm hearing this. I'd be interested to hear from multiple female players. There's a joke in there, and I'm not going to make it. Is it a problem? I mean, do you get... Is a girl gamer, as a geek girl, do you get harassed? Is Real ID causing problems for you? I mean, the thing that I do like is you can't Real ID me unless... You know me. You've got to have my little, StarCraft ID number 8213.
Your email address that you use for your BattleNet account.
Yeah.
And you have to ask, hey, can I be your friend? And you have to confirm.
So, I mean, it really boils down to you have to know me to know me. Because I added a couple of people via their game name, not their real ID. So, like, yours says, oh, this is... And the other one says, oh, this is Zerg... Hunter 2 or something, you know. So they do differentiate. You can have friends, and then you can have real ID friends. So I'm wondering if they have successfully mitigated that impact by adding in that additional check, basically making you prove you know the person or have stalked the person very effectively before you add them to real ID. So I'm thinking they may have mitigated that. That being said, I'm a Terran all the way, man. That's my race. What about you, Leviticus?
Zerg.
Are you a Zerg? See, yes. I would have thought you to be a Protoss.
Why?
I don't want to say because it might hurt your feelings.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I just would have guessed you to be a Protoss.
For the Swarm.
Now, Chris, you don't have a choice. You haven't chosen yet, have you?
I have not. What do you mean chosen?
Like, what race are you?
I'm only playing the single player campaign as of yet, and I haven't played with any of the other units, so I would be completely lost.
Now,
keep in mind that a lot of the units in the single player game aren't in the multiplayer.
Yeah, and this is worth noting.
I found that out.
Yeah, medics, fire bats, none of that.
I couldn't find the medics, and I wasted a good 5 or 10 minutes figuring out what am I doing wrong in the multiplayer version. I didn't realize that. I hadn't built factories. I hadn't built, the correct things to make those units. So going through the single-player campaign, though, does introduce you into the methods of building and what you need to have. But then I realized, medics are awesome.
Yeah, they got turned. Have them. They got turned into medevacs.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because they're transports.
Now, do the units get healed if they're in the medevac?
I believe so.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Now, you have... With the Terrans, you've got, I guess, the different units that... What I'm seeing with StarCraft II is it's about two things. It's resource management, and it's a big, fat game of rock, paper, scissors. Except for there's, 50 rocks, 47 papers, and, 300 scissors.
It's a lot more complex than rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, because...
Spock.
What's the entry unit for Protoss?
That would
Cockroach.
Be a zealot.
A zealot. A zealot,
okay.
And... The zealots can just chew through marines, which is the intro unit. But if you build a research facility onto your barracks, which is the box that makes it poops out marines, trains them.
So you don't have fire bats in the.
You don't have fire bats. You have what's the dune buggy?
Hellions.
Yeah, and hellions cook zerglings, but they don't do jack against the entry Protoss guys. What are we talking about? You may ask. StarCraft II, the biggest game released since the Bible. I don't know what that means. That's all for the first segment of That Computer Show. When we return, we're going to break bad on touchable holograms. Not sure if I should make a Star Trek joke or a porn joke there.
They had They had those.
They did have Star Trek porn. StarCraft II news. Word on the next expansion set. Who would win between a Klingon battlecruiser and the Death Star? They have actually decided. Find out here.
Against the Death Star?
Klingon battlecruisers versus the Death Star. You are listening to That Computer Show at www.thatcomputershow.net. Stay tuned. Segment two will start in mere minutes.
About Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times, you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit Valpak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At Valpak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Ah, those Speedy Alka-Seltzer bubbles burst into action to relieve your upset stomach and aching head fast. It's only as directed. What a relief it is. What a relief.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Dog kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog.
Armor hot dog.
The dog kids love to bite.
It up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
When men fight dogs, they do say nay.
But when kids fight dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Armor hot dog.
The dog kids
love to.
The big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O duck. The Alka pudding just so
It's the Onion Radio News. North Dakota still leads the nation in parking availability. This is Doyle Redland reporting. According to the latest issue of U.S. News and World Report, North Dakota leads the nation in parking availability for the 27th straight year. A remarkable achievement. A proud Governor Edward Schaefer had this to say.
Once again, the Peace Garden State comes out on top. Whether you're visiting Lawrence Welk's birthplace, the Victorian Dress Museum, or the Fort Union Trading Post, you're guaranteed a great parking spot right out in front.
The governor also noted that less than 1% of the state's parking spaces are metered. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, load it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it.
I wonder how many shopping malls are in North Dakota, and if their parking lots are smaller. How many people are in North Dakota? Like 20, 30? There's easily like 100 people there, right? There have to be. Maybe not. Okay. Segment two, we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net as we broadcast from the Blue Room at That Computer Store. Okay. What do we want to talk about? Because we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about, and then we've got to talk about StarCraft. Okay, who would win between a Klingon battlecruiser and the Death Star? What do you think?
That's a good one.
Apparently, the San Diego Comic-Con actually has a panel discussion about this. And what they actually did is they call it the Starship Smackdown. And they basically pick, they have a panel of judges, and they pick a whole bunch of ships, and they say who would win, you know, this versus this with this pilot and this pilot. And there's some really weird ones. They picked the Starship Enterprise from the animated series. They picked all kinds of weird stuff. Basically, the theme here is that the time-honored geeky institution of mine's bigger than yours is. I mean, it just devolved into a big epine of trivia. And the truth of the matter is, the Death Star won in most instances. Not really sure why, but it has something to do with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. I'm going to send a link to Leviticus, because if you're a geek, this is really interesting. If you're not a geek, you're not going to really care, because you're going to be playing StarCraft. Did you get that? Did I send it to you? Yeah? Okay.
Yarp.
Okay, Chris, do you have anything to talk about newsworthy, or is it all just, let's just do StarCraft today? Because I think that's really what it's about.
Not really.
He looks very distressed right now.
He does. Chris looks a little worried.
I had to close StarCraft and
he was playing
you
StarCraft.
You were playing StarCraft? I'm sitting here like, where's the co-host? Where's my partner? Oh, he's fighting a Zerg Rush.
Yeah, sorry. It runs really well on my notebook, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
do you hear the Zerg show music?
Touchable holograms.
That Internet Explorer 9 beta, expected in September.
Ooh!
So IE 9 will finally join the ranks of the other modern browsers to maybe be a freaking browser.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to playing with IE
9. And the Android 2.2 Froyo has leaked the ROM for the Droid X, and the Droid, and the HTC Evo. They're all getting 2.2.
Nice. We're not going to get 2.2 on the moment.
We're not.
No. Okay, I'm going to get a Galaxy S. Okay, a team at Tokyo University has figured out how to make holograms touchable. When you think of holograms, you probably picture your hand sliding right through them being a projection of light and all. You don't feel anything, but you can interact with it. Now, basically, these guys have a ball. Not literally like, oh, we're having a party, woohoo, it's Tokyo. No, they have a holographic ball. And they're able to manipulate the ball, and the ball doesn't actually bounce off your hand. The system registers that that's where your hand is, and the virtual ball reacts. We've got some other news that we've talked about hither and yon about using compressed air to simulate tactile feedback and things like that, which I don't quite understand how that works with air, because it's like... Right? How does that...
Well, certain air compressors can blow the skin off your hand, so...
But which would suck.
Yeah.
But I mean... But
playing
but,
a first-person shooter in a hologram? Oh!
I don't... Oh, visual thinker. But... Which brings me to some Tron news. I need to talk about the Tron news. Where is that? So, I don't really quite understand how it works, and they're real vague about it. But I know some people have proposed using like gloves with little sensors that, you know.
I thought they were using sound waves, pressure.
That was another one. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We talked about when using sound waves, which they can focus on a certain point. Interesting. Okay. Tron. Let me send this link to you because we've seen the new Tron trailer, right? You checked that out last week, Chris?
Yeah, it's awesome stuff.
It is. Okay, so the folks over at IO9 interviewed some of the folks over at the Tron place of the studio of the making of the movie. So there's a lot of cool stuff. There's a theme in the movie of identity discs. You remember in the original Tron, you had the light frisbees that they fought with?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's where your soul is stored in the Tron world. So that's apparently a really big plot point. This little circle, not only does it cut people, it's like a Ginsu knife, plus a container for your soul, and you can actually be separated from it, which is, you know, dangerous, obviously. And they talk about, you remember de-rezzing?
Yes.
Now, in the original Tron game, you were deleted, you depixelated, you were decompiled, whatever. They called it de-rezzing. It's death. In this game, there's no blood, but there's some pretty visceral violence. In the trailer, you remember the dude gets hit with the disc, and it cuts him in half. He shatters. And that's apparently their analog for blood. They still wanted, like, that visceral, violent, you know.
But it pixelates.
Still, yeah, but it's still no blood. And this dude, he shatters into glass. That's de-rezzing.
Are you guys talking about a movie or a game?
The movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Tron 2?
Yes. The game? I own that game. It is awesome.
It was an awesome game.
It's so much fun.
There is going to be a movie tie-in. And sweet. It's going to take place... the game, I think, will take place in parallel, maybe?
Yeah, but they were saying it shouldn't be classified as a movie game because those are bad.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If something gets called a movie game, it pretty much dooms the game to suckage. Like, yep. The Transformers game, totally not a movie game.
Yeah.
It was more like Transformers Generation 0.8.
Yeah.
Gen
1
is the
cartoon. Let's make a cool Transformers game. Okay.
I'm just going to read this chunk because this interests me. The battle scars that were shown, they were pretty violent looking. There was one character whose face was half digitized away. I'm curious, was that a battle scar, a game scar? Was it self-inflicted samurai style? And how horrific is this movie going to get? Which is important to me because I really want Imogen Rockstar to see this movie. She loves Tron. It is one of her favorite movies, and that's why she's one of the coolest kids on Earth. Quite possibly in the multiverse. Quote, that was a battle scar. We envisioned that. That was something that happened to him while traveling throughout the world. It wasn't quite de-rezzing, which you also saw in the piece when the disc goes through the one character and the guy breaks into cubes of glass. We wanted the movie to feel very visceral and real. When you get hit, you feel it. There's no blood in our movie. The wounds are digital wounds, but we wanted them to feel very strong. I am so excited. I mean, it's not StarCraft 2, but it's going to be pretty awesome. Is anybody else excited about this movie?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Because I'm flipping out over this.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Zerg rushing.
I've never played the Zerg. I'm going to have to try fire up StarCraft and play it.
After the show, I've got some yard work to do, which is great. But in the real world, you need to play a couple of multiplayer matches. Because you're going to be in the tournament tonight, right?
If I'm allowed.
I don't know how we're going to handle that, because people want me in the tournament, and I'm really... they just want me in the tournament so they can be like, oh, Steven sucks at this game, because I really do. I mean, I've only played it a couple of times. I'm feeling triumphant about beating easy AIs. Although, I will say, Apple Rust and I, we were actually doing a 3v3, but one of the guys dropped out, his computer crashed, and it was Apple and I against three AI easies. Now, middle of the game... about 15 minutes in, give or take, I had a nice little sized force, and I was feeling pretty confident. I walked right on in, and I walked a ghost on in. I had a nuke built. And I took out about half the dude's base, dropped the nuke on his head, but then he fought them all off. He countered my paper with scissors, effectively, and spent the rest of the game spanking me in the hiney. Like, I couldn't muster a force because he spent the game harassing me. I'm pretty sure they built the AI to have a grudge. I'm just saying. What are your thoughts on that, Leviticus?
I think the AI is great in StarCraft 2. I think they can do some things that humans can't because they're computers and they can be three places at once.
I was watching the replay and the micro, they show, cause at the recap, you can see, like, at 3 minutes and 3 seconds, they did this. At 3 minutes and 4 seconds, they did this. And he's building stuff faster than a South Korean.
You can also watch. The really cool thing they added was the replay. Like you were saying.
Yes, I like the replay.
You can look at build order, what units they have, their resource income.
Economy, army value, all kinds of stuff.
Actions per minute.
Yeah, I watched the replay, because when I beat the Protoss, it took me 40-something minutes. Because the first time he spanked me, I was like, it was over. Turns out I could have beaten him at 16 minutes into the game. I could have rolled him. But I didn't know that, obviously. Yeah, my mic just went out this way. Anyway, so it was awesome, you know, the replay, being able to see exactly where, you know, where I went right, where I went wrong. It's a great learning tool. I haven't played a Zerg in multiplayer, and frankly, I'm afraid to. Which I know someone's going to do tonight at the tournament. So the Hellions would probably be a good unit to start building against Zerg, right?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Guys, don't have qualms about participating in the tournament, because most of the people playing, they're all saying, "Oh, I've never played StarCraft."
Yeah, but they're all lying. Except
most
for me.
Of the people.
Would it make the playing field more even if I played?
Probably.
All right. I mean, sign me up.
A lot of the people aren't gonna be experienced players. They're saying, "This is my first game of StarCraft ever. I don't want to play." Everyone else is like you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody else is like me, because I'm pretty awesome. I'm a TV star.
Yeah.
We do need to talk about the back to school stuff. I promised some listeners that we would give some, because, you know, when I went on the watch thing this week, we talked about back to school tips, what to look for, what not to look for, blah, blah, blah. We really do need... How much time do we have in this segment? Because maybe we should talk about this. 3 minutes? That's not enough. We'll talk about it the third segment.
Did you hear this craziness?
Valpak.com?
No. Yahoo Japan to use Google search technology.
Not
Yahoo's. Not Microsoft Bing. It's... Yeah, Yahoo Japan will use Google technology to run its search engine. So, this is on Yahoo News website.
That's crazy. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, it's Yahoo Japan. It runs completely separately from its California-based namesake. Yeah, but all the searches in Japan will be based on Google. Yeah, and apparently Microsoft's not pleased about that. Microsoft said on Friday it will argue to Japan trade regulators that a plan by Yahoo to use Google search advertising should be blocked.
So, really?
Microsoft's not pleased. So, quoting from a company statement, Microsoft says, "We plan to present evidence to the Japanese FTC explaining why we believe this deal is substantially more harmful to competition." That's their choice of words in the thing. I think they really wanted to say, "We plan to explain that this deal really, you know, tees us off."
Yeah, it hurts us in the wallets.
They want it to be marked as illegal. So, Yahoo Japan's its own company. They can do whatever they want, man.
Yeah, if they wanted to use Whirly Whirly Boop, which we are in talks with them to use Whirly Whirly Boop as the new search engine. Hey, Chris, you remember Gallagher? Comedian?
I do.
Sledgematic.
I'm still cleaning out chunks of watermelon from, you know, crevices.
Oh, dear. What do you... I'm not going to...
Hair.
So, what happens when...
You'd be surprised where those seeds can find themselves. In
watermelons plus 10,000 volts of electricity equals awesome explosions. Clone, I sent you a link. I want you to include this. This is an awesome video. What happens when you pump a whopping 10,000 volts of juice into a helpless watermelon? Instant watermelon salad. Yeah, some of these are totally Death Star explosions.
I know, man. It's just freaking cool.
Yeah, it's very awesome. So you need to watch this. This is under what you need to watch this week. Watermelons exploding. Ew. Also, Jimmy Fallon plays the history of gaming consoles in 60 seconds. He's trying to break a world record. Jimmy Fallon seems like a kind of a cool guy.
Yeah, he does seem like a cool guy.
Yeah. He, I guess he's trying to play... What, he's trying to get the world record for the most video games consoles played in 10 minutes?
In 60 seconds.
In 60 seconds?
Yes, he plays 9 different consoles in 60 seconds. Presented in front of him is an assortment of consoles going from the original NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, all the way up to the Xbox 360. So,
wow. Okay, well, that's all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with some important back-to-school shopping tips. Stay tuned. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back.
San Francisco comes.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice-a-roni, the flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Hello, I'm William Shatner, and I'm a shaman. Conduit of the ancient forces of nature. You're no doubt wondering, hey, Shatner, how do I hurl bolts of lightning? Simple. Get World of Warcraft, dog. You can be anyone you want. I'm William Shatner, and I'm a shaman. What's your game?
World of Warcraft, the number one online game. Try it for free at Warcraft.com.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
tables for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. So, how does that sound? Valpak.com. There are more savings online for you.
New Meow Mix from Purina. The cat food with three separate flavors in one package. Three flavors that cats love best. Tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
It's the Onion Radio News. Raccoon leaders call for the loosening of garbage can lids. This is Doyle Redland reporting. In a 4 a.m. speech at the group's annual Washington, D.C. convention this morning, North American Raccoon Federation President Bristletail called upon homeowners to loosen the lids of their garbage cans, providing the ring-tailed mammals with greater access to discarded food scraps during nocturnal scavenging.
Every time you seal a standard 30-gallon garbage can, as many as six raccoons are forced to go without their necessary daily supply of congealed baked beans, rancid cottage cheese chunks, and moldy cantaloupe rinds.
The 26-pound varmint closed his speech with a stern warning that without raccoons, possums could take over the world. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, load it, point it, zoom.
And we are back, segment three of That Computer Show. We're here to stay. Actually, not to stay. We're only going to be here for like 15, 20 minutes longer than you. Go about your day. Okay, so we're going to talk about a little bit of back-to-school shopping advice. Okay, Chris, during the break, you sent me a link from Walmart.com. They have a 15-inch notebook, 15.6-inch Toshiba satellite notebook with Windows 7 Home Premium. Now, when I went on to watch Fox Wednesday, we talked about some of the things to look for and some of the things to avoid. I think the big thing was to not get less than a dual-core processor. And to be careful of the kind of processor you get. And one of the big pieces of advice that I would give to people during the back-to-school season, because there is a ton of good stuff out there, but it's mixed in with a ton of just people trying to move inventory. If a computer doesn't come with the little bells and whistles to which we have all become accustomed, you want to avoid it.
And if it uses a Celeron processor, run screaming.
Yeah, if it uses a Celeron processor, and I hate to say it because I got a lot of love for AMD, but I have a lot of love for Toshiba too, and this Toshiba right here is embarrassing. If it uses a Sempron or a Celeron processor, no ma'am.
Just don't even fool with it, because even though the unit is really, really cheap, like less than $350.
Yeah, this notebook is $350.
Just using it is going to be such a pain because the processor is not powerful enough to really run the operating system. It's going to be one of those things where you try to use it, try to get on the web, and it's just painfully, irritatingly slow, and you will pay for it, not necessarily out of your pocket, but in just pure frustration. You will not really be able to use this thing and enjoy it.
And here's the thing.
And the specs on this would have been great maybe three or four years ago, running XP or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, this would have been a great machine. Now, here's my beef with this box. And I talked about this on their morning show. And this is the most important thing, I think. Okay, there's no webcam. Do you know how much a webcam costs the manufacturer to put into a chassis?
I think the actual device is something like $4 or $5 for the actual device.
It's between $3 to $7 to put a webcam onto a laptop. Does this thing have a memory card reader? It does have a memory card reader, which is good. If a laptop doesn't have a webcam at this point, you don't buy it. You don't buy it. And people are like, well, I don't need a webcam. And the truth is, you probably don't. I mean, unless you're doing weird things or businessy things or chatting with family. You know what I did the other day? I was using my netbook to show Emmy Jo Rockstar she was out of town. And I was showing her some stuff I did to her room. I put up some curtains and changed some things around, cleaned it up. And I got on the web. I got on my laptop and I got on MSN Messenger and I flipped the computer around and I showed her her room. And it was awesome. Because I had a webcam. But if it doesn't have a webcam, it means that there's somewhere else that they're cutting corners. Thinner plastic, cheaper screens, crappier keyboards.
It's going to break your heart, Stephen.
What's going to break my heart?
Check out that link. But this is the scaled down. It's the 3T version of your tablet netbook. So, but it's the scaled down version, but the price is really good.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Now,
this isn't the scaled down version. This is my netbook.
The 3T?
Yeah.
Okay, the S10 3T. Now, this is a good deal.
There's a newer version, and the reason this is, and I'll tell you what, this is the other thing I was talking about, clearing out inventory.
Well, yes, it's using the N450. There's a newer version of this, right?
Yeah, the one that the DAC got has Windows 7 Home Premium, and it's got, I believe, the better processor.
It's got the 530 or something like that.
I think so. It replaced the price point because it basically was the price point that I paid.
This is last year's model, but still, it's a good netbook.
And it is. What we're talking about, and this actually is a good deal. I actually think we should link this on the website.
Yeah. And keep in mind, there's a big difference between a notebook and a netbook. The biggest difference is the size and portability. And this particular model here is the Lenovo Black 10-inch IdeaPad. It's a touch tablet and netbook all in one. It's a really cool little device. And last year, they were pretty expensive.
They were $500. Now, the first thing that I did was upgrade it. I added some RAM, and I upgraded Windows.
It does need a little bit of love. So if you were to get one of these units, the best thing to do is to, you know, juice the memory. And if you can afford it, replace Windows 7 Starter with Windows 7 Home Premium.
Yeah, which is about $50 to $100 to do the Windows upgrade-y thing. But, yeah. Yeah, that's actually...
And it is a less than $400 for this unit. Now, that's not including tax or shipping or anything like that.
But the place that you would use this would be if you're taking notes in class, if you're a student, light computer. You're not going to do Photoshop on this. Don't try and fool yourself.
No.
You're not going to do a ton of browsing. And to be honest, even Hulu and video playback is a little stunted on it. But
there is an upgrade card that you can get for this unit. It's not sold by Lenovo. It's a video processor made by Broadcom that you can stick in the unit that will allow you to do HD video.
Can we look into that after the show?
We certainly can.
Because we've talked about it, but I want to use it. I want to try it.
Yeah, this thing's worked really well.
But I do love my IdeaPad. And here you go. The new IdeaPad has replaced the one that I had. But it's the Atom N450. What is the one on the Walmart site?
It's a 450.
Oh, it's the same processor.
Okay.
Yeah, same processor. Basically, you get the better version of the Windows, and that's the big difference between the two.
Yeah, Starter Edition is not really something I'd recommend.
And the tablet bits aren't in Starter Edition. Lenovo has their own tablet pieces to make it do the tablet stuff. But the 7 tablet stuff is really nice.
So be careful if you see a price online or in a store that looks too good to be true. It is.
It probably is.
It is. Now, and keep in mind, there is a big difference between netbooks and notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation this year for buying a notebook, the sweet spot looks to be right around $700 to $900.
Yeah, we're probably going to have some notebooks for about $800 here at the store.
That seems to be the sweet spot where you can actually get a good notebook that's going to last you a couple of years. A lot of these less than $500 notebooks are... They don't have horsepower at all.
Mm-mm.
They don't have they don't really have staying power. It's probably something you could use for maybe 12 months, and by then you'll have bald spots where you have to pull tufts of hair out because you're so stressed out about the thing not running very well. And a lot of these, you know, the HP, the Compaq, and the Toshiba, we know what kind of bloatware these things come with out of the box. One of them even has Norton, crying out loud.
You know, and a lot of the big box stores have taken to out-of-the-box charging you for... And we talked to an employee at a big box store. I'm not naming any names or stores. But he said that they actually will get in trouble if you don't sell the system setup and customization.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically where they boot the computer, put your name in for you, click next, and then uninstall all of the crap. And Back to School has started. We have gotten more system builds in the past week than we have in the past 3 months combined. I mean, it's started. We have a lot of people who come to us to build systems because we don't put crap on them. We only use well-known, well-branded, and well-warrantied components. And we don't cut corners. I would rather not sell a machine than sell a machine that's going to have... It's going to be crappy. But, yeah. This music is... Does this not sound like Diablo music a little bit?
What it sounds like to me is a cross between The Matrix and Firefly.
Yeah, somebody actually, when I was playing the soundtrack at the store, they were like, "Did you buy the Firefly soundtrack?" StarCraft II is a total Western. We just completely jumped rails. It's a Western. It really is. It's a Western.
Yeah, the main character was the marshal on a planet, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he's an outlaw marshal. You have the horrible government back east, who's using people for slave labor in the mines.
Yeah, he tried to control the Zerg and wipe out his enemies.
Yeah, it's...
It's bad. But it's a great story.
It is. It is a great story. Oh, Chris, I found out. To get the N470, that machine starts... Excuse me, it starts at 600.
For the
Lenovo, yeah. The 470, but it comes with 2 gigs of RAM. So the... basically, the upgrades we're doing, it's... Yeah. Looks good, though. I think I want one. Ooh, it comes with Bluetooth.
Yeah, and it looks like Best Buy has the slightly more up-to-date version of that. The same unit, not the one you're talking about. The one that comes with Windows 7 Home Premium.
Home Premium, yeah.
It's about $30 more.
Yeah.
But it's worth the $30 to get
really
7 Premium.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I want to mention, and man, you need to commit this to your memory if you don't remember anything else. If you buy a laptop, now we're not talking netbooks, we're not talking desktops. If you buy a laptop, if it does not have an Express Card expansion slot, don't buy it. Don't do it. Again, it's one of those cutting corners things. You know, it probably adds $15, $20 to the cost of a computer from a manufacturer.
If it only has a single core processor.
Don't buy it. But if it doesn't have an Express Card slot, because... That is your only opportunity for expansion of that computer, aside from USB stuff. Say you want to add FireWire to record digital video from your video camera. Entry-level notebooks don't have FireWire on them.
I'm scrolling through this big box store's website on laptops, and I have them sorted by price low to high.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen anything that I would wish on my worst enemy here.
It's really slim pickings.
I'm getting up to about $500 here, and I'm starting to see Athlon 2 dual cores. That's about where they're starting there. But
and an Athlon 2 dual core isn't...
That's an okay processor.
Because it's based off the Phenom core, if I mm-hmm. remember correctly.
And so a lot of these are actually sold out already. And there's some decent models on this particular site. Some of them with HDMI out, 500 gig hard drive, and a decent unit for about $500. But I don't think the build quality of this particular model, for example, is going to last. The thing's not going to last more than 18 months.
Yeah, and I mean, why buy a computer?
Especially not with a student.
Why buy a computer if you can't? If you're not going to use it. Now, granted, a lot of people do. They say, "I'm a disposable computer." Blah 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 blah. I don't know, but those are the big things, man. If it doesn't have the little bells and whistles, avoid it. Bluetooth doesn't quite count because it's not quite ubiquitous yet. Express card, if it's not a netbook, if it doesn't have express card, don't buy it. Now, as far as brands are concerned...
This looks pretty promising.
I kind of like Lenovo. I'm liking Lenovo right now as a brand. I got a dead link, buddy. I don't know what that was. It didn't come up. I don't... Send me the model number and I'll Google it. Now, as far as desktops are concerned, you want to try and get either the Core i3, i5, i7, Athlon 2, or Phenom. Intel has the i3, the i5, and the i7. The i5 is the middle of the road. i3 is their entry level. i7 is the big dog. It's the fast one. With AMD, you've got the Athlon 2, which is kind of the entry level and mid-range. And then you have the Phenom, which is the quad core. If you can afford it, go for it, because it really adds to the performance. You want to make sure you have enough RAM, and you want to make sure you have a decent video processor. A lot of these manufacturers, I was pricing out an Asus machine. It was an Athlon dual core machine with Intel integrated graphics. I didn't understand that. Because if you're going to buy an AMD machine, you need to get an ATI chip, the chipset. Because, you know, the same manufacturer, they make the motherboards, they make the best motherboards. Are we almost out of time? Okay. So, I don't know. Any other last-minute tips? We've got a couple more minutes.
Well, if you do that same search on that same big box store and reverse the thing and sort from high to low,
mm-hmm.
and scroll down a little bit, there's some pretty good-looking models in there, some of which are priced a little higher than I think they should be. And most of those are brands that begin with the letter A-P-P-L-E.
Hmm.
They're selling i5, 15-inch i5 notebooks for $2,000. And you could really buy almost, two notebooks.
Did I tell you what Wilson did?
Yes, talk about what Wilson did.
Okay, Apple's coming out with a new... What is this new machine? It's their
Power Mac.
It's their high-end Mac, like I can do everything.
Apple Pro or...
It's a desktop. Their price point on it's like, what, $5,000? Wilson priced out the exact same machine, because it's just using desktop components that are readily available, just, Apple branded. He built it for $2,000 less. He even went on eBay, found a case...
An Apple case,
the same chassis, got all the other parts, and built it for $2,000 less. What does that tell you about Apple's profitability?
They make a ton off of you.
They make a killing. And what did you say the other day about... Oh, we went to a tech event in Colombia,
mm-hmm.
and most everybody had Androids and Blackberries and Windows Mobiles, but there was an iPhone 4, and the lady that had it, she set it on the bar... and put it for everyone to see. It was a status symbol. It was a piece of jewelry, I believe, as you said. She didn't have that thing because it is the best phone. It is the iPhone. She probably had the one with the more GBs.
Buy it, use it,
It wasn't white.
Wow.
I still don't know if you can even get those yet.
You can't. They pushed back the date. Apparently white plastic is harder to make than black plastic. Yeah. Okay, that is all the time we have for this week's That Computer Show, mainly because we have to go play StarCraft. We're going to be back next week with more of That Computer Show, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. If you have questions about back to school stuff, call us, 803-462-4199. We are here to help you. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at TCSJoe. Tweet with us and join in on the fun. Until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you have been listening to That Computer Show.